Hello, everyone, and welcome to the For the Reef podcast. My name is Mitch Stender, fisheries biologist with co-host Ian Bell.
Hey there.
LFS owner and first responder. Our goal is to take our fish nerd conversations from the fish room floor to your living room while bridging the gap between the hobbyists and coral reef conservation. So first things first, I just want to talk about a quick article and a quick update about what's going on in the coral conservation world, specifically for the Cayman Islands. Unfortunately, there was some news that came out on October 16th that said that 43 north wall dive sites are now closed due to a coral disease spread. That's basically spreading from Indigo drop-off all the way over to Andre's Wall.
For those that don't understand what that means, Cayman is sort of an elongated island with a big bay on the north end of it. And all those dive sites are sort of at the opening of that big bay, which is kind of interesting and may sort of have some tells as to how it sort of started there, maybe where it came from, or give them some indications anyways.
Yeah.
Speculation on my part.
Yeah, I mean, so the disease is actually called stony coral tissue loss disease. And like Ian was pointing out before we started recording that, you know, hobbyists might just call that
STN. Or whatever. There's always some sort of a gap between what hobbyists think and know and what the scientific world thinks and knows.
Yep, totally. And actually, in this article, unfortunately, researchers aren't exactly sure what's causing this disease to happen, and it really just comes in and wipes out everything really quickly, similar to like RTN would in your aquarium. One thing that they're doing right now is that they're calling it a coral firebreak wall to help stop the spread of the disease. At this time, I'm not even really sure what that means. Next time Aaron is on the call, I'm sure he can shed some more light on what's going on with disease. So
yeah,
we'll have to stay on top of what's going on.
Aaron and I both know some people at the Department of Environment there. So maybe we'll reach out to them and ask them if they'll come on and talk to us about that at some point. I could think that could be interesting. I know they're out there now trying to get samples, trying to figure out if it's bacterial or what's going on. It's challenging for them because this time of year, those dive sites are a little bit more inaccessible to divers just because of the weather patterns and whatnot. So it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. And it looks like at this time they've limited or stopped all in-water activity within that section where they know the disease is going on just to try to stop the spread. It looks like it can, you know, potentially spread from place to place. So
yeah, they might have even referred to it as reef COVID in the article.
Yeah. Oh, that's already, thanks, yeah. 2020.
In other Cayman news, they had their lionfish derby there a week or two ago. And if any of you listened to our last podcast, Aaron Hunt from Cayman Eco Divers, I believe he won the award for the smallest lionfish caught. Being Aaron in true form, managed to go out on the reef and find one about an inch long somehow.
Get them while they're young. It's awesome. But anyway, so that's kind of something that we want to do in this podcast is, you know, at least pull some news, some real news from what's going on in coral conservation each time we get on this podcast. And then kind of as we segue into what our main topic for the day is, today we are actually talking about moving a saltwater aquarium. To give you some background information, I just recently got a new job in another city, and that's going to require me to move homes, my wife and I, to move homes. That also means moving my reef tank, which happens to be approximately 150 gallons in the display and another, you know, 40, 50 gallons in the sump, and filled with, you know, SPS and other sensitive corals and fish that mean a lot to me. So we got on this topic just discussing on how we're moving it. And it just so happens that Ian actually has a few clients that he's moving tanks for too.
I have two or three clients that are moving right now. One, they're very different situations. All three of you are all very different situations. One is moving from Nova Scotia to London, Ontario, which is you know, for those of you that are not Canadian or local, that's a fairly large move. That'd be like moving halfway across the US. Mm-hmm. The other client is moving neighborhoods, essentially, and they're moving into a larger home that they're renovating. So they're all very different situations from each other.
Yeah. And just getting ready for this podcast, we quickly realized that it's probably going to take a few podcasts for us to actually get through all of our topics. We're kind of working through this idea of what are the logistics of a move, you know, transporting the tank itself, lifting it, dealing with the weight of the new build, all of those types of things. Then we want to talk about all of the biological components of the new move, keeping the bacteria, the fish, the coral, the live rock, and everything alive. And then finally, making sure that we've checked all of our boxes for, you know, having a contingency plan and a backup plan for where the tank's going, things that are happening along the way for the move, and everything like that. So I guess the best way to think about it is, you know, how are we going to move the things that are in the tank? And in this case, it sounds like it's just a fish only tank from the East Coast.
The East Coast lady, yeah. I just met her this week. So she is moving from northern Nova Scotia to Ontario. She has a house here. She's here now sort of planning all of that. She came in here looking to find a new local fish store. We had a great conversation, and then that led into, okay, now what do I do? She had originally planned to put all of her fish in buckets, put them in her car, drive them here, and bring everything along with it. Great intentions. She had planned to get battery operated, water movement devices, temperature devices, anything you can think of, bring water for water changes, all that, except this is not a short drive. So this is going to require overnight stops, etc. She was thinking about bringing the pails into the hotel room. It was a massive undertaking what she was considering doing. We talked about it, and her intentions are great, but what if the car breaks down? What if she gets lost? What if?
Yeah.
We're in 2020. God knows what happened. They could have, you know, Sharknadoes in the middle of Quebec. We don't know.
That's true.
So we thought maybe we would rethink that idea. So then I broached the subject. Obviously, the easiest way to move a tank would be find other hobbyists in your area, rehome the fish, take it all apart, move it, and start over. Very quickly found out that she's extremely attached to her pets, as many people are, and that's just not an option. So that was very quickly off the table.
Yeah, and like these are, you know, from talking to you, sound they're expensive saltwater fish, but these aren't. Yeah,
she's spent a couple $100 a fish, and yeah, she's an investment, and she's an animal lover, and she's invested in her pets.
Yeah, oh, totally. Which is
totally fine.
It's not like we're moving an orca whale.
Yeah.
These are, you know, fish, and a lot of people would say, why don't you just get rid of them?
Exactly. But fish are pets just like anything else, and, you know, people that don't have aquariums often say to me, like, are people spending so much money on their fish? This is crazy. But they're just as invested in time, effort, and cash as you are in your dog. And I bet if you figure out how much you spend on your dog in its lifetime, it would shock you as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I have a dog, and let me tell you, I spend more money on my fish than my dog. Just don't tell my dog. And actually, just to gotta give you guys some insight here, we're actually sitting in Ian's store right now, which is located in London, Ontario, and highly recommend you check it out because it's a great store. And of course you can find everything online at Sustainable Marine Canada. But we're now sitting here and the lights just clicked off.
Yeah, the lights are on a timer. We didn't think about that. So it's got a little, there's mood lighting. Let's call it mood lighting.
Yeah, so we have some really cute mood lighting. But yeah, I mean, I guess one thing that is that I was thinking about was, okay, I've got to consider, and it's just crazy because I've been talking to my buddies about it, and you know, they think I'm out of my mind. I'm talking about having, to give you a little more background information. My wife is still up here until basically the end of the year when she's a school teacher, and when the school year is done, then we can move.
Yeah, just for context, where we are to where Mitch is moving, it's about 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So she is going to be up here for another, you know, 9 months or so. And for the time being, I'm living in my mom's basement. No shame. Basically, I have to, you know, I want to find a house before she moves in. And my buddies were giving me crap about that because I kept saying, well, you know, we can't move the tank twice. You know, I'm making decisions about buying a house, and I hope my wife knows this, but she already knows. I'm making decisions about buying a house on how many times I have to move my fish tank. But, you know, I guess we all are crazy in our own ways.
I've seen Mitch's tank. It's gorgeous. So like it deserves some thought.
Oh, for sure.
It would be a shame to see something go south because we didn't think it through.
Yeah. I mean, and we're talking like, it's not like I, you know, can go out and buy full on colonies from trade shows of some of the corals I want, because they're, you know, in the thousands of dollars if you want to get them. So I've had 1-inch frags that have been growing this tank for years, and they're finally getting to a size where they're really becoming impressive. And the, you know, sure, I mean, it's the money side, but I've nurtured these animals to a point now where they're impressive. And when people come over, it's the first thing they want to see at my house. It means a lot to me. The last thing I want to do is just, I don't really want to give my corals away or sell them or anything like that. I love my tank, you know, the fish and the corals and everything like that. And I certainly don't want any of them to die. So there's a lot of planning that goes into moving a reef tank.
Sure. And that the other clients that I have, they're only moving across town, and they're everybody is concerned and is stressed about that. So yep. There's a lot of the same feelings that go into all three moves, but the logistics of doing so are very different for each one.
Yeah. And what's crazy is there is some, you know, crazy considerations that you have to take when you're moving a tank 40 hours across the country, but you kind of need to take into consider a lot of those similar things when you're moving the tank 4 feet from, or, you know, 20 feet from one part of your house to another. Like,
sure, yeah. It's a big deal. And it's not something to be thought of the day of or the day before you move. There's definitely, you need to put your thought into this well ahead of time.
Yeah, and it's definitely something like, you know, when you compare, I moved a freshwater tank on the day I moved down. And, you know, it was not a big deal. When you move, I mean, to some people it would be a big deal, but for, you know, if you're in the aquarium hobby, it just was part of the move to me to move that tank. But the saltwater tank, like, I've been stressed out about it for months. Like, it was actually probably the first thing I thought of when I got the job, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to move the reef.
This is a fisheries biologist, by the way. Like, he's stressed about it. Yeah. So we all need to be thinking about it.
Yeah. We're going to get into all the biological stuff for sure. And I'm going to save that for that. But I mean, when you start moving around this stuff, you're, you know, opening Pandora's box. You know, when you stir up your sand, you start moving the live rock around, and you start releasing those things that have been, you know, in your system for so long, you can really open yourself up to some problems.
Sure. So back to the lady in Nova Scotia, I think what we've settled on, or what we're trying to settle on anyways, we thought about many different avenues. She was in today, actually. What we're trying to do, she has a small tank here. So what we've decided is to try and have some place for the fish to arrive to that's safe and stable while she gets the existing tank back up and going.
Yeah.
We decided that that was going to be the best option for her. So what that now entails is that she is going to go and speak to her local fish store back in Nova Scotia, who she has a decent relationship with. He's already looking after her corals for her while she's away. Not that many, there's just a few. And we're going to discuss with him if he is able to hold her fish till she gets here. And then he's going to pack them, hopefully pack them and ship them here by FedEx overnight.
That's a good idea.
It's the least invasive, least risky way that I could think of to get them here quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If they're packed well and they're warm and, you know, taken care of, they should be okay. Now, that being said, we need to think of contingencies there. What if she doesn't happen to be home for some reason when the courier shows up? I don't know why, but what if it happens? So what she may do is have them shipped here to the store because there's somebody here set hours. So we know there'll be someone here to receive the courier. We won't open the box. We'll leave them so they're not stressed out extra, and she'll come here and get them. Yeah, so sort of fish store to fish store, work together. And hopefully fish stores across the country or your country or wherever you might be listening are willing to do that to help them, help you with that.
Yeah.
The trick to the whole thing is with COVID, a lot of the couriers can't guarantee their shipping times, although FedEx seems to be doing okay from what I've seen. So we're going to investigate that, and hopefully that'll be the method that she gets her fish here. That way she's here now. She's setting up a small 16-gallon tank that she has here. She was in today and got water, rock, and we're seeding it ahead of time. And it's going to have a few weeks to get stabilized. So when the fish arrive, they have somewhere to hold them while she gets the rest of her tank up and stable. And I think that's going to be the best approach for her so that she's not stuck on the side of the highway somewhere in the middle of Quebec in 2020.
Fish in the back. Yeah.
What do I do now? Right. Sure. So I think that's the safest way we've come up with for that. If that's an option for you, then that's great. She's very attached to this. She's fine paying for that. That's the safest way.
Yep. And you know what? I mean, for people, you know, if you're listening to this podcast more from a, you know, coral conservation view and you haven't shipped fish or you're wondering how the heck are fish going to live in a bag for overnight shipping, or even worse, maybe it takes, you know, a day, maybe it takes 24 hours for these fish to get here. Can they survive in a bag? I will say it's hit or miss. I mean, whether or not the fish is more sensitive to, you know, what's going on in that bag or not, or, you know, how lightly they're handled, how slowly the temperatures are changing in the bag all matters. But generally things like, okay, so the fish is pooping in the bag. Like what? So now the fish is being exposed to the ammonia in its poop. But actually one thing that happens when fish are in these bags is that when the oxygen is concealed in the bag and there's no kind of oxygen exchange, those gas exchanges aren't happening, that really only when the bag gets here and you open that bag and you expose it to new air does, I might be getting this a little wrong, but I think because the pH will drop and then the pH kind of spikes up when that new oxygen gets into the bag, which then causes the ammonia to become toxic to the fish. So really, the timeline definitely does matter. I mean, fish can't be in a bag for 3 weeks, of course, but can they survive an overnight ship? Can they survive, you know, maybe even longer, depending on what we're talking about? Yes.
It's totally doable. I mean, all of our fish essentially come from the Indo-Pacific. They're all shipped in bags in about 24 hours anyways.
Yep.
It just has to be done properly. They generally tend to ship them in fresh salt water before they go. They tend to make sure there's oxygen in there. Some places ship them with neutralizing agents for ammonia. There's heat packs. As long as it's done properly, it's totally a doable thing.
Yeah.
There's companies shipping fish across the country all the time. That's why we decided that this would be the best way for it. I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Well, actually, it kind of. So, okay. I was thinking, you know, I'm going to need some help when I move my tank. And I was definitely going to try to get your help with the move. So let's just start talking about that. I mean, it's moving day. You know, what type of things are, because I was thinking we're going to need to get a U-Haul. I mean, I've got a truck, but I don't think that's going to be enough. So we're probably going to need to have the U-Haul that we're moving my clothes and all that kind of crap. Use that for the fish move as well.
Yeah, I think we could take one step back there. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this already. What the thing to think about with your move is, okay, is this one of those situations where the move out and move in have to be the same day? Mm-hmm. Do I have access to this place beforehand? Do I have time? It's not in a big rush, which is the case for my other clients with the move in town here. They're going to be building their house. They don't have to release their other house till they're ready. totally different situation than what you've got going. Also, another thing to consider in a situation like this, and you and I talked about this as well, I'm fairly sure we'll still get you on the hook for this, is this is a fantastic time to think about, hey, did I want to upgrade? Did I want to make a change? Is it possible for me to upgrade and get everything set on the other end so that instead of moving all the equipment and everything at the same time, I'm just moving the contents?
Right.
That's a totally different situation than moving the whole thing.
Yep.
If you're moving the whole thing, there's things to think about, like, do I want to reuse the sand? And we'll get into that in the biological sector. Do I have enough water? Do I need new water? Do I want more water? Mm-hmm. Is it readily available? If something happens, is there somewhere locally that I've made connection with, whether it be an LFS or another hobbyist? Can somebody help me out if I find I'm missing something or something breaks and doesn't start up again like I think it should? Logistics. Is it a holiday? Is everything going to be closed? Have I thought ahead of what could happen? My heater didn't make it. The pump quit working. All of this kind of stuff you want to think about before you even think about putting it on the truck.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, you can see even as we start talking about this, you get down into this, you know, rabbit's hole of things that you really do need to consider. And I mean, I'll give you my situation. You know, I got to this point where I finally got what I have now. I would say, you know, 10 years ago, looking forward, I would have said, this is my dream tank. You know, everything I have right now on the system 10 years ago was my dream tank. Today, there's things I want to change. That's just the way this hobby.
Sure. It happens to all of us. We all buy something. Oh, we're going to start small. It'll be manageable. Yeah. And next thing you know, you want a lip fish store.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Who does that?
Yeah.
It actually
should be looked at by a medical professional.
Yeah. So like my system right now is exactly what I want. Right. So I thought about that a lot. I'm like, okay, if I were to sell my stuff, get myself into a new tank, do all of that. And also to give people some more clarity, this is also, you know, first time home buy for my wife and I. We've been renting, you know, for our whole lives. And now we're finally, you know, getting back to an area where we think we want to be for a long time. So this is going to be a place where we want to buy a house. We want to set up a tank. And I want this tank to be set up for the next 10 years and be one of those tanks that, like, you know, they are have that old tank awesomeness, you know, the tanks where you look at them like Sunjay's tanks and Paletta. When you look into those tanks, you're like, those things have been old and they've set up, and the biodiversity that's developed the tanks is incredible. The tank's just thriving, and that's the kind of success that I want to have with the system. While I want all that, and there's things that I want to change, the thing that I don't really care to change is the stand I have and the aquarium itself. I think the aquarium and the stand is in good condition. I like the way it looks. It's a custom stand. I love it. And I don't really want to get rid of it. So there might be some little things that I want to change. Like I kind of want to upgrade the skimmer to make it a little less noisy, things like that. That's not really anything where I can just set it up and then move everything down and have a tank ready to go for it to move in. So it kind of like takes that option off the table. So in my situation, we got to be like, it's a one day, we're going to try to prepare everything as best we can. We're going to, you know, make sure we keep everything going, try to think of everything, take this tank, empty it, point A, bring it to point B, fill it back up, get the corals in there, and pray to God that it worked, right?
I thought of one thing that we forgot.
What? A
very important logistical thing. Your spouse has to be on board. If you have a spouse or significant other, there might be people out there that are going, to heck with your fish tank.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mitch, on the other hand, his wife is a saint.
Oh, yeah.
She supports all of his adventures and fishiness.
Absolutely.
And she's on board to prepare for this. So that's a whole other logistical thing. If you don't have support for this, you better rethink your plan, because it could be a relationship issue.
Yeah, and all the more reason to like consider your partner when you're moving. I mean, with this whole move, I don't want Kelly even involved on the day. Not that she wouldn't be willing to. I just would rather her you know, be doing enjoy whatever she wants to do. Just see the tank move from point A to B. I don't want any stress to be on her about this. This is my problem. It's not hers. And all the way to, you know, make sure we clean up our mess. Make sure that we're not spilling water all over the house as we're coming in.
That's actually something I hadn't thought of. Like, if you're renting or selling the home, is there anything behind that tank that I now have to fix?
Great point.
Before the new tenant or homeowner comes in.
Yep.
That I can't see yet.
Yeah, I mean, you just scared the crap. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I mean, in my situation.
Was there water spilled? Is there, you know, mold? Is there, you know, hopefully not.
But, no, there's definitely a lot of that to consider. I mean, luckily in my situation, I left the tank probably a foot and a half off the wall. So there's a lot of clearance to make sure that, you know, the drywall and the paint and everything is okay on the back of or behind the tank. The other thing that we have going for us is time. We're going to have the property that we have now rented, you know, for months after we move this tank. So if there, you know, if it needed a new paint job or something like that on the wall, I could totally do it. And it's on a laminate floor with concrete underneath. So I don't expect us to have any problems, but definitely something that you need to consider.
Yeah. The next thing would be, before even all the biological stuff, the physical act of moving it, like you were starting to touch on with the truck and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I would try, in my mind, I would think either do it on a separate day or have a separate vehicle just for the tank.
Right.
Everything can go in there. If water sloshes, it's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
This is what this vehicle is for. And here comes the next trick. Like, you ever look at your friends' faces when you ask them to help you move?
Mm-hmm.
Look at their face when you ask them to move a fish tank.
Yeah.
And especially when the size of some of these tanks.
Yeah.
How are you physically going to get it out of your house, down the road, and into the next house? Do you have the manpower? Do you have the tools? How can you make this easier on yourself?
Yeah.
I've delivered several tanks, and you learn something each time.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone so far now as I have pump carts. I have lift jacks so that I, you know, you see them on, you know, that'll show tanks. They always have those lift carts where you can lift the tank off and slide it out.
Oh, nice.
But even something just as simple as either buying or renting the suction cups to go on glass,
right,
so that you have somewhere to hold it is a massive.
Have you used those?
I have some.
Yeah, oh, nice.
They're great.
Cool.
It makes a huge difference because you're not trying to hold on to something that's slippery,
mm-hmm.
with no grip. You put them on there, you put one hand under each, and you got one guy on each grip, and now you're walking.
Yeah.
And little things like that, you know, like, well, I don't want to buy that, or I don't want to pay. What's the cost of something like that worth versus your tank on the ground in pieces?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, but it's part of the whole thing. I am not pinching pennies on this move. Like, this is important to me. There's a lot invested in the tank. There's a lot of time and years of energy and money and planning and everything that's gone into this tank. I don't want this to be a failure. Like, this is important to me.
Even little things right up to the truck that you rent. I've made this mistake before, or not even a mistake. I got there and I didn't have the truck I wanted. And I ended up with a truck with no lift gate. Oh, it'll be fine. Damn near killed ourselves getting it out of there.
Yeah.
Lift gate, worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
Pay for the bigger truck, get the lift gate. No hurting your back.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Plywood to get it from the truck on the gravel driveway across the lawn to the front door so you can roll it. You don't have to lift it. Like, anything you
can
do.
So what do you mean with the gravel? What are you, or with the plywood? How would you?
Well, okay, for example, say you've got it off the lift gate and it's on a skid or something.
Yeah.
You can either manhandle it and take it all the way to the door and risk somebody tripping or hurting themselves or whatever, or you could leave it on the skid and borrow or rent a pump jack.
Gotcha.
Lay down plywood sheets all the way to the door and push the thing there.
Oh, because the plywood is
it's just a solid surface to get you across the lawn or the ground.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And okay, so, all right, we've considered
now. You might even want to hire a moving company.
Well, not a bad idea. That's, you know.
And they're insured,
and
not your back. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there is, it's like some of these tanks. I mean, I don't know. I wonder how heavy my tank is. I mean, you could probably figure it out.
They're heavier than you think.
Oh, yeah.
100-gallon tank, if you have to move it any distance, you know, three or four guys is easier than two.
Yep.
Because they're just, it's more about the shape and holding on to it. Now, I tell you, it is a lot easier with those grips. That's for sure.
And so those grips, I've never used them. They kind of freak me out because, you know, I'm thinking anybody in the aquarium hobby, you've got these suction cups all the time. You suction cup your heater up against the glass, and you know, within a few months or a quick rub, all of a sudden it pops off the glass. Like, can you trust these suction cups on the glass?
I was worried about that too, because I'd never used them, but I was talking to Derek up at Miracles Aquarium, and he moves tanks all the time. He looked at the ones I'm gonna buy and he said, absolutely, totally safe.
Nice.
He says the key is to make sure that they stay clean, that there's no particles on them, that they don't get cut, so that suction surface maintains that surface. The ones that I bought also have on the little pump, there's like a handle, and there's a little pump on the end to get the suction going. There's a little red line, so you can see if it's starting to lose suction at all. If you start to see that red line, there's an indicator.
Yeah.
His, he's moved hundreds of tanks, and he said never had an issue. His advice to me was, if you get four guys and you got four handles, one hand on the handle, one hand under the tank, just in case something lets go.
Yeah.
And go. And so far we haven't had any problems. They work fantastic.
Perfect. Okay. So basically logistically right now we're like, okay, we need a vehicle like a U-Haul or a separate vehicle for the aquarium itself.
Yeah, because you got to think about everything that you're moving. So you're moving water.
Yeah.
You can't just dump that necessarily into 50-gallon drums. That's mm-hmm. a lot of weight. I mean, you could and try and put it on carts and stuff and lift it. That's all how you want to do it.
Yeah.
But most people end up putting it in pails. Well, that's a lot of pails.
Totally.
So you need the room for that, and you need to not wreck your vehicle.
So let's say with water. So I have a saltwater mixing station that does, I guess it would do 120 gallons. If I filled both vats up with salt water, I guess probably for me, the best idea is to bring the mixing station to the new house, get it totally filled with salt water into temperature, and then not bring the water, right?
Some people like to bring some water. I'm thinking that in tearing this tank down, you're going to be moving rock and sand and stuff. You're going to release all sorts of nasties into the water.
Yeah.
I think it's an awesome time to freshen up the tank and do a big water change. Not to mention when you put the stuff back in the tank, there's still going to be stuff coming out of that.
Yeah.
So you want to have water on hand for your move, and probably for shortly after too. You might think about doing a big water change afterwards.
Yeah. I guess there's going to be a bunch of water that's needed just to keep the livestock submerged.
Yeah.
Which kind of also I've been thinking about, okay, so what do I need to keep the livestock? I mean, one thing that you can do is leave the livestock in a friend's tank, an aquarium store, you know, some other type of storage place, and then move the whole system, get it all set up, run it for a week or so to make sure everything's fine and dandy. Or the alternative is taking a little bit bigger of a risk and then putting the fish into vats. Maybe, you know, you get those big rubberized, you know, those black tubs, or you could do buckets depending on how big your system is, and move them on the same day.
Yeah.
So I guess that you got to weigh the odds on, or the weigh the risk of.
Well, I think it comes down to your situation. You're close enough. Mm. Within reason that you can leave yours and move them when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the luxury where, as much as we're going to try and move the tank in one day, you don't have to be out of your house one day and into the next house. There's some gaps there.
Yeah.
Whereas some people, their house might close and they have to be out the same day. So they have a different issue where they're going to have to probably get, I always suggest like those inverters for your car,
yep,
from 12 volt to 120. So you can have heaters and water movement and oxygenate the tank that the fish is in,
mm-hmm,
to keep it as warm and comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
During that move.
Oh, I mean, it's funny. So it's a little different, much hardier fish. So I have sunfish that I have, it's a, you know, freshwater sunfish. And I keep kind of like a native species tank full of common bait fish species in Ontario and things that I work with. I like to keep an aquarium at home so that I can see them every day. It helps me ID them when I'm in the field and understand their behaviors and things like that. And actually on my way home from, on the way back from London, bringing this tank, you know, this new system back back to Windsor.
To your mom's house?
All right, you made me say it. So bring it to my mom's house. You know, my mom's pretty cool. So, and I got a great spot. I might not even move. But anyway, moving the sunfish, I actually had two buckets of fish in my passenger seat with the exact same. And in my truck, I have like a 110, whatever, like you can plug a normal plug into it. And I had bubblers and fish sitting next to me in my truck. So that was my companion on my way home. And I actually did that, worked great, didn't lose any fish. And actually, you got to count for extra time. That was one thing that realized from moving my freshwater system is I'm like, yeah, no problem. You know, get there, I'm gonna set the tank up, fill it up, blah, 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 and it's all good. But actually, you know, those fish, for whatever time you think they're going to be sitting in a bucket or in a container or in a bay, like, you got to almost double it because there's a lot of things.
I always figure anything in the fish world is going to take me twice as long as I think it's going
to. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's exactly the way that works. And when you're, especially like, let's talk moving day. Like, yeah. Moving day, there's a lot of things going on.
Sure, stressful day.
On top of moving the tank.
That's why I always suggest to people, if you can do it on a totally separate day, set aside a whole day just for the fish tank.
Yeah.
It'll be...
You have to. Yeah. And all the more reason that if you're going to make this move, it's a great time to make your big changes because, that's your moment. Because it's...
If you have the opportunity to and you're going to upgrade, get the whole thing up there, set up ahead of time, ready, set to go, and then it's just like going to the fish store.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people that go, say, like, Toronto is 2 hours from us. There's people that go shopping in Toronto all the time and don't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could have a system at the other end to move them into, I mean, the corals and things, they're going to take some time to adapt and whatnot, but at least you have a healthy, stable tank. But that's not always possible for everybody.
Yep. And, you know, I guess the other thing, too, is, like, from a logistics point of view, when you're moving the system – are you moving the system in the dead of winter?
Sure. Or
are you, is it?
What part of the world are you in? I mean, we're in Southern Ontario, which sometimes it's like California, sometimes it's very much not.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And actually when we're moving, it'll probably be very much not. So things like that. I mean, for example, the back of a U-Haul isn't going to be heated.
Yeah.
So you've got to figure out, how are you going to get heaters back there to keep everything going? How are you going to, make sure that you pull over every once in a while, depending on how long your drive is, to get back there and make sure that your heater didn't kick off?
Mm-hmm.
Even with, like I was saying, with my truck moving those fish and having a bubbler, it kicked off every once in a while. And I have no reason of why it happened. It just shut off. If that was sitting behind me or in the back of a U-Haul, I'd never know.
Yeah, and these are all the things I brought up to the lady that's moving from Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal. That's halfway across, you know, some countries.
Yep.
And those are things she was not prepared to deal with. So that's how we settled on that. Let's talk to the LFS and do the shipping route.
So here's another thing is, all right, we got the tank in the U-Haul. We're on our way down to the new place. And you get there and the floor isn't level, right? Yeah. These are all things that you need to consider. I mean, one, does the floor hold the weight you're considering?
Yeah.
Is the floor level? Is it, because if it's very unlevel, I think that's how you say it. If the floor is not level, then you may be putting a lot of pressure on one side of the tank and over time you could have an issue.
Sure.
Check the stand before you put it in place, because if it got damaged during shipping or while you're moving it and now it can't hold the weight of the tank, you know, there's a great conversation you want to have with your partner. Like, oh yeah, I moved this tank. It cost us a bunch of money and I filled it up and it exploded in our new house.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. Like, these are all real things to consider. Like,
which brings us back to what we were talking about earlier with the logistics of it all. Have you thought ahead where you're moving to? Is there other hobbyists that you've talked to online or through Facebook or whatever that are there to back you up with stuff that they may have around? Is there a local fish club that could help you out? Is the freaking hardware store open?
Mm-hmm.
Is there, and if it is, do they have like shims or, yeah, or any of that mop? Like whatever you might need, a shop vac,
yep,
any of that stuff you might not have or need.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Is like, there a place to get it?
All the plumbing.
Yeah.
I mean, like for my system, I mean, I can't remember exactly.
Break plumbing-wise on the way?
Yep. Did something break? Did you have to cut? Like sometimes your overflow might be glued into the bulkhead, or, you know, are you going to have to make a cut somewhere, which means you need to have all the new plumbing ready to go. And not only that, I mean, even I remember with setting up, so this tank that I have right now was bought used from one of your customers. And when I looked at his tank, I went there, you know, we talked, he told me everything about the tank. And then I'm staring at the tank and I remember thinking, like, I just want to set it up the exact same way he has. Like all the plumbing looks fine. It's quiet. It doesn't seem like it's having any issues. You know, I got this. So I just kind of stared at it. On hindsight, I should have taken a few pictures. And one cut in that plumbing to get the tank out of his house meant that it needed all new plumbing.
Sure.
So I brought that tank home thinking I'm just going to set it up the exact same way. That's not the way it went. It took me like a week to figure out the plumbing to get this thing back in place.
And speaking of plumbing, another thing I thought of, I mean, we're talking worst case scenario and all these things, but we're trying to help other people think of things they might not have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
A majority of those bulkheads in your tank are made of ABS plastic, which is somewhat brittle.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really react well to over tightening or impact.
Yep.
Something gets bashed or whatever. Now you don't have you've got a crack. You've got to replace a bulkhead.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're readily available. Sometimes they're not.
Yep. Oh yeah. And that's
all kinds of stuff to think about. Do I have access to what I need quickly, or is my livestock protected because I thought it through to cover these sorts of unforeseen events?
Yeah. You don't want your plumbing. You don't want to be sitting there, you know, reefing on new plumbing or having a bunch of, broken plastic in your hand and have your livestock sitting behind you waiting for their new home. Because if it's on a holiday or something like that, you know, you're probably going to lose those fish unless you are able to think quickly and have somebody to help you out. Mm-hmm. So that's all, you know, real considerations. But I guess I can already tell we're creeping into the time here, and I'm thinking like, this is definitely going to have to be broken out because
we'll get into the logistics of the biology and the moving of the animals and whatnot next time.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the move and the logistics and the contingency plans is a massively important part of the move itself.
Yeah.
And I think until you've done that well, shouldn't even be thinking about the other stuff.
Yeah. So let's do this then let's do the logistics cheat sheet. It's moving day that's how you start the cheat sheet. Don't start thinking about this on moving day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We're weeks before we need to move, months before we need to move. Okay. Yeah. Let's start with vehicle. We're moving the tank. We're going to use my example because it helps me. It's moving day. What vehicles do we need? What are the ideal vehicles that we need?
My suggestion is going to be a good size vehicle, a good size truck, level back, places to tie things down. And that's another thing. Do I have the proper tie downs?
Yep. Tie downs, blankets to protect the glass.
Coincide with the ones that are in that vehicle. You might want to call the company you're renting the truck from. Is it the big pieces that stick out that I can put a hook on? Or is it the ones that are the metal bar that you have to have the special piece to click into to tie things down to make sure they don't break?
It's true.
The lift gate, all of those things. Like, what's going to make this as safe and easy for me?
Yeah.
And my health and my back and my friends' backs that are never going to do this again after they realize what's involved, or any of that stuff.
Yep. Okay. So that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that the vehicle is sizable. We need to make sure that it's level where we're putting the tank, and we have the tank is secure in the,
Right down to, you know, you've cut the plumbing, but your bulkheads are still in, they're sticking out the bottom of your tank. You need plywood or 2x4s or something at least to lift that off the ground.
Right.
To limit the damage to those bulkheads that we were just talking about.
Right. Yes, exactly. I mean, like, it's not always a perfect cube.
So yeah, vehicle and equipment to secure your items.
Including things like moving the weight, right?
Yeah.
So we talked about using suction cups. Obviously, you know, we don't need to get into all the other stuff, but obviously, like, you know, maybe consider wearing gloves. Getting everybody who's moving the tank and helping you out.
I mean, ultimately, you're handling a large amount of glass, and accidents happen. I would say gloves, safety shoes, safety glasses.
Yeah, make sure everybody's safe, because that's a lot of glass.
Safety first.
Yep. First responder.
Yep.
Safety Ned or whatever. Safety Steve. Okay, so now we've got the tank situated in the back of the truck. We're using things like blankets, styrofoam, yada yada, to try and keep it.
Straps.
Yep.
Skids, like strap things down to a skid. Maybe you'll be able to plywood box to put it in and secure it that way.
Yeah, if you're talking about a really big system, maybe what you do happen, build a plywood box for it, just to really make sure this thing is safe.
And even out of the safety factor, you can build the plywood box. There's probably stuff you can put in the tank, and if you put it on a skid, now you can get that cart and wheel it right out and maybe right up to the door, and it's less things to move.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so we moved it into the back. Let's talk about the plumbing. We're going to need to have all of extra PVC. We're going to need extra PVC, fittings.
Extra glue. Extra a way to cut pipe.
Yep, great idea.
Is it a saw? Is it a cutter? Is it however you decided to do that.
Right. You know? So just kind of a reference from what I've been kind of using, basically up to three inch, you can use those handheld PVC cutters.
You have to check the cutter. Some will and some won't go that wide. Sometimes when you get into the bigger pipes, I've found sometimes it'll snap rather than cut.
Sandpaper.
Some people I've seen that use a small router or a knife to take the burr off.
Yep.
Because you'll notice when you cut with those things that sometimes it leaves a little flare on the end of the pipe. And if you put that into the tube, it's pushing a bunch of the glue out of the way.
Yeah. So making sure that whatever size pipes you have, in my case, I'm going to need probably both a hand cutter and, you know, like a miter saw.
Yeah. And have a backup.
Yeah.
In case one of them breaks, quits, batteries die.
Yep.
Whatever.
Energy. At the new system, you're going to need to bring your power bars and things like that. It's a great time to consider your new, you know, power setup. I mean, you might want to replace your energy bars. You might want to make sure that your outlets are GFCI certified,
sure,
those things. And you might even want to just set all that up before you can start moving the tank.
And there's another great point that I hadn't thought of as well. A lot of us run on Apex. But it's going to take you time to get your Apex set up again. So if you've been, it's all plugged into my Apex, and you don't have extra power bars just to set it up in the most basic way possible, that could be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the list goes on. And
you just need to get it there and running. The fine tuning can come after.
For sure. Yeah, you need to get. Okay, so let's just stick to the logistics. We'll get into the biological stuff next time. Okay, so the tank is in the back, ratchet down. We've got our plumbing. We've got our energy system, you know, our I keep saying energy system, but, you know, like, all the electrical stuff is ready to go at your new place. You've made sure that there's an outlet where you're putting the tank. You've checked all of that stuff. I guess the next thing is, well, and this will probably come before, this is in like a direct list, but you need to make sure that wherever the tank is going
is prepared.
And that means, like, is your tank more in, I mean, depending on how the age of your house or how it's built or what part of the floor you're putting in, you might want to make sure anything over 75 gallons, you know, is you're taking a good look at the floor that it's putting on.
Sure. Have you checked which way the joists go? Is it capable of supporting the weight that you're going to put on it.
Right. Like, you want the joist to be running parallel across the tank so that you're adjacent to the tank, right? Because
you want the tank to run across as many joists as possible.
Right.
You don't want the joists going with the tank.
Okay. And then you don't want the tank, you want the tank sitting near the side of the home, like up against the sidewall. You don't want it kind of sitting in the middle of the floor or anything like that.
I mean, wherever it's going to land.
Right.
I mean, some people like it behind a couch. Some people on peninsulas.
Yeah.
You just want wherever it's going to go to be ready.
Yeah. I also found like the distribution of weight's important, because if you have the base of the stand is a big flat surface and that weight is being distributed more evenly across the base of the tank, then you're probably going to get away with a bit more. If your tank is kind of like four pegs on the bottom, you might want to double check and make sure that that tank is going to be safe there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you want to take a good look at your floors.
Sure.
Things
do
like
they need to be protected. Do you want to put a neoprene mat or something underneath it to protect from spills or leaks?
Yeah. I mean, like hardwood floors or generally, I don't know a lot about floors, but I'll tell you, like, laminate flooring is pretty resilient. And if you have anything more expensive or hardwood, things like that, you better be ready to damage that hardwood, because it's probably going to get damaged.
Yeah, I like to put neoprene mats down. I've had pretty good luck with them. Some people like to take that area and tile it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just those are protect your other investment, your home.
Yep. Yeah.
To think about.
Who's thinking about the home? So
your wife will be.
Okay. So now we've thought of that. So, okay. We've got the tank secured. We've thought about the plumbing. We've thought about the electrical. We've thought about the weight distribution on the floor. We've considered safety of the guys that are helping you move and all of that. Is there anything that we're missing?
We've got water on hand. We've got everything up to temperature. We've thought ahead for all of that stuff. We've made sure that there are people around that can help us if mm-hmm. we're short something, or there's supplies, whether it be hardware store or local fish store that's aware that we're moving, that they're either on call or open.
Yeah, measure the door. To make sure.
Make sure you can get it in the house.
Yeah, big one.
Yeah, huge one.
Yeah.
Or out of the other house.
Yeah, for sure. You
know, was it there when you moved in and you took it over or not?
Yeah.
Is it a double door and you thought, oh, I've got lots of room, but then you find out that centerpiece doesn't come out.
Yep.
Yep. Do I have to take out a window?
Oh, yeah.
These are not things you want to find out at the last moment.
Yeah. Measure twice.
Yeah.
And avoid divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's all. I mean, I think
you've covered most of it. If anybody's listening and they have other thoughts, like they want to share, shoot them over to our email and we'll share them.
Yeah. And I mean, as we are going through this, I got to say, like, I am, as we're talking about all this, it's giving me another layer of confidence, and I'm going to go and make sure that I have notes from this podcast that are going to help me with this move. And it also adds to the make a few lists before you go, make sure you've written down everything, because depending on how you like to remember things, I like to, you know, put things into my phone to remember things. But it's a great idea to have a list, because that day you'll be extra stressed. There's going to be a lot of things going on, and it's really easy to leave your house with, you know, a critical component of the tank, and then you get there and you're screwed. So
sure, maybe even alarms in your phone, like, hey, it's getting close. I got to remind that guy that said he'd be around to help me that I still need help.
Or yeah,
that guy from the local fish club. Hey, I'm still moving this day. Are you still good to back me up if I'm short something, or the fish store? Just reminders to remind.
Yep. And it's really, you know, as we get into that biological section, it's really making it pretty clear to me that you're taking on a lot of extra risk trying to move the livestock on the same day.
Absolutely.
So
it was the very first thing you and I talked about. I said, well, listen, we've been talking about an upgrade.
Yeah.
Is this the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you went home to think about that first, because having a nice stable environment on the other end is obviously the best way.
Yeah, for sure.
But if it's not an option, or that's not what you want to do, then these are some of the things you need to consider.
Yep. 100%. All right. Well, with that, we'll kind of close this off on the logistics part of moving a tank, moving a saltwater aquarium, reef, your baby, your pets.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this still applies to a freshwater tank too. I don't want to leave any of our freshwater people out.
Yeah. It's just,
there's some things that are just a little simpler.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it all depends too. I mean, if you're moving a bunch of, you know, guppies and you have some tetras and your pleco, you're probably okay. I mean, it's a lot more simple to move something like that. But you can't rule out everything in freshwater. I mean, there's a lot of freshwater. You know, you might be moving discus. You might be moving, freshwater stingrays. You might be moving something that means a lot to you and all these types. And not only that, I mean, in the saltwater world, we always get so caught up in all of the, you know, so-called bugs that are in our tank and all of the biological stuff that's going on in our tank. And while there's a lot more resiliency that's comes to a freshwater tank more quickly, because it's you know, generally, you know, simpler water parameters that you're trying to keep in some of these like planted aquariums versus a full-on reef tank. But it's not to say that you're not, if you're moving, you know, a freshwater tank that has been set up for 10 years and the sediment or in the substrate hasn't really been moved, and your, for example, your plants have spread roots throughout the whole system, and then not only that, there's a lot of micro inverts that actually occur in freshwater tanks that go unnoticed by, you know, people who keep freshwater tanks, because I find that freshwater tanks, you have they typically have a shorter lifespan. We have, you know, a tank that'll be set up for a few years, and then you can kind of break it down and move it because the equipment's simpler, you don't have as much invested, blah blah blah. But tanks that I've had for freshwater that were set up for years to the equivalent that saltwater tanks, the amount of diversity and, you know, stability that goes to those tanks is similar to a saltwater system. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that just moving a freshwater tank is easy.
Don't discount it just because you're like, oh, it's just freshwater.
Yeah, 100%.
That's just as important.
Yep, totally. So, yeah, we'll kind of end it there. Again, if you have any comments, questions, or anything like that, you can email us at fortherefpodcast@gmail.com. We now have a Facebook page called For the Reef Podcast, where you can also get on there and you can message us through there. You can find Ian, of course, at Sustainable Marine Canada, and me with fortherefpodcast.com. So that's kind of it.
That's it for today.
Yep. Thanks everybody for listening. Next time around, we will either bring on a new guest or we might dig into this biological section of moving an aquarium. So stay tuned for that.
Thanks. See you later.
Thanks, guys.